We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power will be encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com and live on Facebook on The Rock Christian Music page. Or you can find us on the Paragon Communications app and take us with you everywhere. Let us pray, let us pray, everywhere and every way, every moment of the day.
Good morning. You are tuned into the Hour of Power this morning. It is the most powerful hour of the day. I'm your host this morning, Monica Lovell. The beautiful Tina Dobbs is over there running the iPad, and our guest this morning is Mr. Les German. How are you doing this morning, sir?
I'm great.
I'm so glad you could be here for us this morning.
Get up and had to take a shower, and I just didn't want to leave that warm shower. It was like, oh, it felt so good because I knew it was going to be cold outside, but I said, down, get behind me, Satan.
Amen.
My flesh wanted to stay in that warm, but we got to get her done.
Amen. If you have a praise report or a prayer request, you can send that to us three ways. You can send it by email, hourofpower32@gmail.com. You can text it to 580-485-0837. And you can still post it to our Facebook page, and we'll do our best to get it on paper so that we can pray for you about halfway through the program. We do record in two parts, and we'll get it posted shortly after the program has ended. Our sponsor for today is Gateway Church. Today is Tuesday. You're right. Thank you. See, it's okay to make mistakes. It's okay. Our sponsor for today is Prophetic Voice Ministries, located at 616 North Locust. I was a day ahead, but that's okay. I think I covered it all. I think I got some brain freeze going because it's so cold out there. Would you pray to start us out, sir?
Yes, Lord. First of all, Lord, I take authority. Father, I own this property that we're sitting on. So, Father, I just take authority in the spirit realm, and I cast out all demonic influence. Lord, I evict and cancel all the demonic assignments or transference of spirits of whatever wanting to invade and interrupt, hinder this broadcast. I come against that in Jesus' name. I forbid it in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. So, Lord, I invite your angels to come and minister to the people that are listening and to us. Lord, we just need your touch this morning. We just give you praise and glory and honor for what you're going to do in Jesus' name.
Amen. I like your title, Clarity. Boy, howdy, that was... I was living in a fog for a long time, but God is faithful.
Well, God is, this is going to be a year of change, mm-hmm. And there's going to, and God, well, years and years ago, 3 or 4 years ago, the Lord just started impressing upon me that his glory is going to fall like it's never been, and I'm not some pro. I don't even. But I just had my wife and I. We talked about that often. I just said I just feel like the Lord's going to release his spirit. I mean, it's released already, and I get it, but it's going to be multiplied, and his glory is just going to get released. And some of the prophets are even saying that now. And what's cool is when his glory is released, people that have been struggling with health issues are going to be healed immediately. So that's going to bring in a harvest of souls like we have never seen before. I really feel that. And it's just me. I mean, I'm not, but I just feel the Lord is just saying, you know, Lord told me one time, he said, I'm not done with America. I'm not done with the United States. So these people that are preaching gloom and doom and the United States is, you know, you can't find the United States in the Revelation. Well, whatever. But I'm just saying, God, I don't think it's done with us yet. And there's a remnant out there. And I'm going to tell you something. About a month ago, when Hamlin, what was his name? Oh, gosh, can't think of his first name. But the football player that collapsed. I'm going to tell you something. I was watching that game, and when I saw him fall, man, I started praying. I mean, immediately I started praying for that young man's health. And I thank millions of people that were watching that game. And what I love about this is there was some of the referees and people were talking, well, we're going to continue the game. And some of the coaches I heard, I don't know who, and I'm not casting any dispersions, but some of the coaches, yeah, we need to finish this game. The players went, no. We were both players on both sides. Players on both sides got together and knelt in the middle of the field and started praying. Yes. And I want to tell you something. This is my opinion. I'm sorry, but it was just, I think it was kind of a test from God as a nation, because there was millions of people watching that game, because that game was pretty important in the, you know, the scheme of the NFL. And so he said, are you gonna play or you're going to pray?
Come on.
And we chose to pray. Even an ESPN sports announcer prayed on the air live.
I've seen that.
And I want to tell you guys something. If ESPN pushes him out, if they fire him or whatever, we need to boycott ESPN, I guarantee you. And I listened to him pray. It was not a polished prayer at all, but it was so sincere. God doesn't want polished prayers. It was right from his heart. I was so blessed by that. And then I watched Hamlin the other day. He got on it and thanked. He created I don't know if it's TikTok or YouTube, whatever, but video thanking everybody, all the doctors and everybody that helped him and all the prayers and stuff. And so he's a godly young man, and I think God used that to show there's a remnant of people that in a crisis, what we turn to the Lord. Think about after 9/11, after the Twin Towers fell. I mean, the churches were packed. So in the times of crisis, then we go to our Lord, and we still do because of that incident. And I'm glad, I'm so thankful he's recovered. But anyway, I didn't mean to start off on that, but I'll just.
Can we take a minute real quick? Sure. My best friend Tanya is watching, and it's Storming Stillman's mother. Can we go ahead and take a minute and pray over this situation and circumstance that's going to take place today? I kind of explained to you a little bit before we started.
And it's not a coincidence that I was here last time and we prayed for Stormy.
I know.
So Lord, you're there's no coincidences. So Heavenly Father, we just lift up Stormy. You know the situation, Lord. You know the will that you have a will for her life. And Father, she has paid a price already for the errors of her ways. So Lord, we just say that's, we just say, let that count. And we just say that's enough, Lord. We just speak and release freedom today. When she goes to court, Lord, we just ask for your favor to be on the judge, on the prosecuting attorney, whatever is needed in that courtroom. But Lord, we just invite your spirit, your presence to fill that room, and spirit of compassion and understanding would be released. But we speak freedom to Stormy in Jesus' name. And Lord, as she walks out, freedom, let her praise you. Let this be a testimony to your mercy and your goodness and your love for that young lady. We just lift her up to you now, Lord, and we just thank you in advance for freedom, freedom, freedom for that young lady. Let this be a lesson to her, Father, and let her all the rest of her days follow you, for you are her protector, and you give her grace and mercy. Let her feel your love. Give her an open heaven to feel your love today in that courtroom. We come against any spirit of fear. We cast it down in Jesus' name. So, Lord, we just pray that the angels would surround her, strengthen her, and just let this be a day of joy, a joyous day of freedom for her in Jesus' name.
Sorry about that. I just noticed that my friend popped on. And
that's good, no.
I had to be bold for a minute. I love you, sister. God is with you. We're standing in agreement.
That's right. Yep. Thank you, Lord. And what the enemy, we declaim for Stormy, what the enemy intended for evil, God's going to turn to good. We claim that for Stormy now in Jesus' name. The enemy thought he won. No. So we thank you, Lord, for Stormy's life. What she's going to mean to your kingdom in Jesus' name. Yes. Shall I continue?
Yes.
All right. This is kind of strange, I guess, but I ran across something. I was doing some research, and anyway, I don't. Okay, so let me start out first by reading the Lord's Prayer. Now, this is in the modern King James Version, Matthew 6, verse 9 through 13. Therefore, pray in this way, Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be is your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now we all can recite that. We grew up in church hearing that all the time. But what I ran across, it really got me. It was totally unexpected. But let me give you a little bit of 30 seconds of history here. Agnes Smith Lewis, she was a linguist and a scholar at Westminster College in Cambridge, England. In 1892... she was traveling. She discovered, and she was also kind of an amateur archaeologist. Yeah. Easy for me to say. Archaeologist. Anyway, in 1892, she discovered an ancient scroll in the St. Catherine's Monastery at Mount Sinai. Okay. On this scroll was written the Lord's Prayer in Aramaic. Okay. So the Lord's Prayer, that what I just read in our Bibles, the Lord's Prayer has been translated over the years from Aramaic to Greek to Latin, then to English, okay? Scholars believe that Jesus spoke a few languages, okay? Maybe Hebrew, Greek, but definitely Aramaic, okay? He spoke to his disciples, and he gave his sermons in the Aramaic language. Why Aramaic? Well, Aramaic at the time was a language spoken by the common Jews. And didn't Jesus come to the common people? Whew. So what Agnes Smith Lewis did, since she was, actually, long story, but she had a twin sister, and they were both teachers and professors and stuff, and between them they mastered 12 languages. So they knew Aramaic. And so what she did, now she translated from Aramaic directly to English. So let me read that translation. So this is the Lord's Prayer translated from Aramaic to English. Cosmic birther of all radiance and vibration, soften the ground of our being and carve out within us a space where your presence can abide. Fill us with your creativity so that we may be empowered to bear the fruit of your mission. Let each of our actions bear fruit in accordance to our desire. Endow us with the wisdom to produce and share what each being needs to grow and flourish. Untie the tangled threads of destiny that binds us as we release others from the entanglement of past mistakes. Do not let us be seduced by that which will divert us from our true purpose, but illuminate the opportunities of the present moment. For you are the ground and a fruitful vision, the birth, the power, and fulfillment as all is gathered and made whole once again. And so it is. Man, that just, that got me. I'm telling you. I'm telling you. It, every time I read that, every time I read that, it does something to me. Now, I meet with a group once a week, and I gave them this last week, and we was talking about it. And one guy had a concern. He said that one statement, let each of our actions bear fruit in accordance to our desire. He goes, no, our desire? Our desire should be about the Lord. I said, yeah, it is. This is, I prayed about it, and this is what the Lord gave me. He said, let me read that again. Let each of our actions bear fruit in accordance to our desire. God does not dictate whether I become a doctor, lawyer, a welder, store owner, whatever, sales, whatever I desire in my life, whatever job I desire to do, God wants me to bear fruit. That's what he's talking about. Whatever I desire to do in this, he wants me to bear fruit in all aspects, every day. And illuminate the opportunities of the present moment. Now, I'm telling you, I don't know, but that really did something to me. It's like, oh my gosh. So the Lord's Prayer, as we know it, is fantastic. I'm not saying anything about it, but this is so much deeper. So much, to me anyway, it's so much more emotion tied to it. Because it was a direct translation from Aramaic, and that was the language most time Jesus spoke. But I don't know. It's just something I ran across. And I think I think when, and I've said this many times, but our words are the most powerful thing in the universe. God speaks and he creates. We speak, we create. You know? I've said this for years, that our spoken word is like spiritual seeds being planted in one of two gardens. And there's a harvest coming. Mm-hmm. And some people call it karma. Whatever. You can label it however you want to, but God, God's on the throne, and he's given us the choice. We are I believe this, only three voices we kind of hear. We hear the Holy Spirit, we hear Satan's voice, we hear our own voice. Well, when my flesh wants it, I want it now, I want it now. I think that's kind of partnering with the devil. You know what I'm saying? And we need to override that, tell the emotions and the flesh no. In fact, God told me this. He said, heaven is worth telling the flesh no. Come on. What? Wait a minute. Heaven is worth telling the flesh no. Yeah, because the flesh wants it now, and, you know, it's selfish and self-serving and all that stuff. And that's why we're to carry our cross every day. And anyway, so I thought y'all might like that. I thought that was pretty cool.
That was awesome.
So that's why I said, told Tina, it was the theme, I guess, was clarity. Because that, to me, helps clarify and deepens my love for the Lord's Prayer. Does that make sense?
Yes.
It was like, oh my gosh, there's just so much. I'm still studying and praying about this, meditating on it. But it is just, for the last statement even, I just keep going back. For you are the ground and the fruitful vision, the birth, the power, the fulfillment, all that, as all is gathered. He wants us to be one body, all gathered together and made whole once again. Man, he wants his church. I'm sorry if people out there listening don't agree with me, but I don't think God put labels on people. He doesn't care if you're Methodist, Baptist, Pentecostal, whatever. That's man's labels, not God's. And I've had this conversation with a few people, you know, and they, well, I'm this, I'm that, I'm this, I'm that, and I'll never step foot in such and such church. Mm. Oh, come on. You know? Are they believers in Christ? Yeah, then they're your brothers and sisters. Come on. And I know some churches, and I know some people that's been hurt and wounded by I don't know how to say it, by stupid things people say and do, okay? We all mess up. We all make mistakes. And the flesh gets in the way. So every morning I wake up, and the Lord told me, says, start your day on your knees, and I'll help you stand through anything and everything. And so he's given me this too. I say this out loud. Lord, let my words heal and not hurt today. And Lord, help me see people through your eyes and not mine. We have no clue what people are walking through or what they have been through. So some of that stupid talk, some of that, and they're not stupid. I'm targeting the behavior. Does that make sense?
Yes.
I'm not judging them. I'm just saying sometimes they make stupid mistakes. Or they do stupid things. And it's sometimes, a lot of times, it's out of woundedness, out of fear, out of self-preservation. And that hurts. That hurts other people. And so I encourage people to seek the Lord on getting healed emotionally. And there'll be less opportunity then to hurt someone else's feelings and that sort of thing. So anyway. I don't know where I'm going with all that, but I'm sorry. I'm just all over the place. But, all right, so we talk about voices, clarity. People say, how do I know it's God's voice or the Holy Spirit talking to me? Well, he always brings in peace. Mm-hmm. It's never condemnation. Mm-hmm. If it's in your face, that's the enemy. It's not God. He never yells at us. He corrects us, but he never criticizes us. There's a difference. Criticism rips and tears at the core of the person. Mm-hmm. If you criticize someone, and I'm talking about yelling and screaming, calling them names, you stupid, this, whatever. You're actually, this is me, but I feel you're ripping and tearing at the soul. You're ripping and tearing at the core person, therefore leaving scars on the soul. We all need correction. Correction is soft. Holy Spirit corrects us all the time. If we're listening to him, because he wants us to change, to conform to the image of Christ. Okay? That's our job, actually, if you want to know. Change our behavior. People don't understand, too. When Don and I was married years ago, we entered into a covenant relationship. Let me back up a second. I accepted the Lord at age 14 at a church camp. I entered into a covenant relationship with my Heavenly Father. Okay? Did I always walk in? No. But he was always there. His covenant is so important. It's one of the most important things God can ever establish is a covenant between us. So when I entered into a marriage, well, all right. So let me back up. I'm sorry. At age 14, he started to want me to change my behavior. I don't want you saying that anymore. I don't want you doing that anymore. Oh, okay. But it was gentle. It was a gentle correction. It was never a 90-degree turn, so to speak. And I know some people say, well, hey, that's what he had to do with me. Well, that's good. God knows. But I'm just talking about me. So when I entered into a covenant marriage, then the basic what we were doing was promising that I would change for her and she would change for me, change behavior. Because what I thought I could, I'm a guy, I'll do whatever the heck I want to. No, not so much anymore. You know, that me had to become we. And I had to change my mental focus on what was good for me was what was good for the team, the marriage, you know. And I wish people could get that, that that selfishness, that spirit of selfishness is so prevalent and huge. I don't know why this story comes to mind. I'm a storyteller, whatever. But we were in Paris one time, had a business trip, and so Don and I went to this little restaurant. This is so funny. So, and it was in last part of December, so it's kind of cold, you know. We slip in this restaurant and had like a 4 or 5 course meal. It was pretty amazing, pretty cool. This young waiter spoke perfect English. And so after the second or third course, Donna asked him, she said, "Can I have some coffee?" He goes, "Yes, ma'am." He brings us the next course. We eat that. She said, "Can I have my coffee now?" He goes, "Yes, ma'am." He brings us another course. "Can I have my coffee now?" "Yes, ma'am." She's getting a little perturbed. So he brings the last course, and she goes, "You know, I've asked you like 2 or 3 times for coffee." "Yes, ma'am." "Can I have my coffee now?" "Yes, ma'am." He's so polite, so nice. So he brings us dessert, the final one, you know. She says, "Can I have my coffee now?" "Yes, ma'am." He brings us dessert. We eat the dessert. After we finished, now he's bringing us coffee. And Donna was getting a little perturbed, you know. "I want my coffee when I want my coffee," you know, kind of thing. And he looks at us and kind of smiles. He goes, "You Americans need to understand something." He said, you are in my country. And we don't serve coffee until after the dessert." And we sat there and like, oh, my gosh, he's right. Us Americans, we bull our way around and self, yeah, I want it when I want it, blah, 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 blah. I expect people to bow it at my whim. You know what I mean? And it's like, wait, time out. We are in his country. So their culture, the way they do it, they serve coffee after the dessert. But I'll never forget that. It's like, oh, we were kind of corrected. You know what I'm saying? Anyway, it was pretty cool. So we got the message. We said, "Oh, I'm sorry." Donald goes, "Oh, I'm sorry." And he said, that's fine. But he's a very nice young man. So we gave him a good tip. But anyway, I'm just saying, we've got to watch that. When we step in someone else's house, for example, we can't have it our way. You know what I'm saying? We can't. And unless it's illegal or something, but you know what I'm saying? We've got, everybody has certain ways of doing things, you know? And I used to be a manager. I had 35 reps under me. And I read this book on leadership and stuff, and I forget who it was, but he made a statement I'll never forget. He said, "Show a man what to do, and then get out of his way." Because there's about 40 ways of getting from point A to point B. You know, if he knows the basics legally, because where I have to deal with legal stuff, but then just show him the way and get out of his way. Let him find his own way to do it. And it was like, oh, my gosh, I like that. So, anyway. So, as we're talking about voices and clarity and stuff, I wrote this down. We are governed by internal voices, and I've already mentioned Holy Spirit, our voice, or Satan's. Here's the deal, though. The loudest voice gets their way. Look at the 6 o'clock news. There could be 1,000 people in agreement, but one loud voice is the one they put on camera. Isn't that right? So my question, which voice are you obeying? Inner voice. The voice of fear, faith. The voice of fear or the voice of faith. The voice of your flesh or the voice of the spirit. And is that voice positive or negative? What do I mean? Your actions, positive or negative, are they going to build up or tear down? Okay. And so, and I know, I get it. I hear people, well, Jesus called them vipers. "You brood of vipers," he's calling the Pharisees. You know, yeah, I get it. But I don't think that's my job. If I call a person a name, you think that's going to change their behavior? I don't think so. and I'm not going to try to explain all that, but our culture is getting crazy. We've seen it, and it's just in our face, kind of. How I say this, Lord? There's no moral compass. And I'm talking about our leadership in Washington, D.C., and I'm not here talking politics. There's enough junk on both sides of the aisle. But there's no moral compass. There's no moral absolutes. And if we know what's right and see what's wrong, we're not allowed to speak to the wrong. You know what I'm saying? Or we're going to be accused of judging and blah, blah, blah. Now so if I speak, and I've seen this in years of counseling, if I speak the truth to someone, he doesn't like it, then I'm judging him. But the truth is from the Bible. So if you've got a problem with it, you take it up with the Lord. I'm just telling you what the Lord says. You know what I mean? You're like, okay, they don't want to accept it? Fine. Well, then that tells me they're probably not willing to change. And I hate to say this, but they're going to have more calamity in their life until they finally hit the bottom. You've all heard that. To where they finally are undone and are done with their current behavior, and then they turn to the Lord. And I hate that. It's turn to the Lord now. You know, you don't need to go down that path any further. But, oh, no, it's you're judging me. Well, I'm just telling you the truth. Whatever. Call it what it is. I don't play games. Time's too short, is in my estimation. So